Throughout the pages of Scripture, there are any number of different examples that we can find that would help us in our life here upon this earth. Many of them, we have recorded from them the words that they have spoken, the letters they have written. When we think of examples and teachings that we find in the Scriptures, we often think of men like Moses and of David and Solomon, Paul and Peter, even Luke and the various writers of the Gospels. But there are so many that are there in the pages of Scripture that we don't have any words recorded that they have spoken. There's nothing that is listed that tells us exactly how they taught or things of that nature, but still, they are very powerful examples to us. One of those that we've talked about in the past is Andrew. We do have a few words recorded from Andrew when he called his brother Peter to see the Christ, but from that point we hear very little about him. There are a number of others throughout the pages of the Old and New Testament, but the one we want to look at this morning is a young man chosen by the Apostle Paul. As far as I know, there is not one word recorded in Scripture that Timothy ever spoke. Yet he is a very powerful teacher for us even today by the things that are said about him and the way he conducted his life, and by especially what we have expressed by the Apostle Paul in regards to his attitude toward this young man. And I refer to him as a young man. I really don't know a whole lot about his age. Nothing is really said. When he is chosen by the Apostle Paul here in the book of Acts chapter 16, it's obvious he's old enough to have made his decision regarding serving the Lord because he's referred to as a disciple. And obviously he is a disciple that has been one for a long enough time for the brethren in that area to speak very highly of him, at least as they spoke to the Apostle Paul regarding this young man. We do know that when the Apostle Paul wrote to them later, he told them, don't let people deride you because of your youth. And it's probably that phrase as much as anything that causes us to make reference to him as the young preacher Timothy or the young man Timothy. But certainly we recognize that youth is a relative term. There's a lot of people that are in their 20s and 30s that are kind of young to me now, where 10 years ago they might not have been. Youth is like old. A lot of people I used to think of as old aren't so old anymore. Because, I don't know, when you get up in those higher numbers, the gap seems to get smaller, no matter how large it may have been. And so we realize it's a relative term. So we don't know Timothy's age. But he was old enough to have made his decision to serve the Lord and to be a disciple when the Apostle Paul chose him to follow along with him. And we want to consider this morning some things that we can see in the life of Timothy, some things, especially things that are described to us by the Apostle Paul, that show us the kind of person that he was. And I think these are characteristics that should stand out in us as Christians. We ought to seek to have these sort of things said about us. And when we think about Timothy and consider, certainly we just not too long ago finished studying in the book of Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 19 through 23, and we'll read these a little bit later, the Apostle Paul makes a statement that he didn't have anyone else like Timothy that was so focused on the will of God. And the impression that we get from what Paul has to say there is that Timothy was a person that Paul could trust explicitly. I can send Timothy anywhere, anytime, to take care of any problem, and it would be just like I went. What a wonderful thing it would be if the same could be said about each and every one of us who are children of God today. So we want to talk about one this morning who is what I've got titled here, a silent teacher, because there's not a word he says recorded. But his life demonstrates to us some very important principles that we need to follow. And the first thing that we need to consider when we think about Timothy is his knowledge and his diligence in continuing that knowledge. Certainly, when we think about Timothy, we turn to the epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote, the two letters that he wrote to Timothy, and we read there about him. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul makes reference to his mother and his grandmother. And he says, that's where your faith started, Timothy. You have the knowledge that you have today because of what they did. I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. These were two women who were godly women and well understood the importance of what we have recorded in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, that if you train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. The importance there is, in order for one to be a child of God, we must train them to be a child of God from a very early age. Now, certainly, we recognize that there are exceptions even to this rule and this statement, as we talked about when we studied the book of Proverbs in our Wednesday night Bible class over the last couple of years. But in order for one to be a child of God, they need training toward that end. They need to be focused to that point. And one of the best times to get such teaching across is when they are young, when we are training them in everything. It has been shown time and time again that our most influential time in regards to picking up things and developing our skills is that time frame when we are in the home with our parents, when we are just 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe even 5 years old. Once we get past that point and we step out where we're influenced by others, it makes it that much more difficult to teach and impress upon those children the thoughts and imprints that we want them to have later on. And that's why we have this statement in the book of Proverbs. The best time to convince someone to serve God is when they're most impressionable. As an aside to this, when we look at the world around us today, we see the fruits of allowing children to decide for themselves what they want to do. We can see the fruits in the world around us of what happens when we don't teach our children. Certainly, we recognize from experience that there are so many children, oftentimes, who are taught the Word of God who later go away from God. Why would we want to take the chance on leaving our child to the whims of the world and not teaching them anything? We have an obligation to train up and teach our children. Paul told the young man Timothy, he said, I know where your knowledge came from. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 and 15, you, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And once again, we read here, Paul says, give attention to what you learned because of who you learned it from. And I don't think Paul is just referencing himself here. I think Paul is making a reference back to Timothy's mother and grandmother. Timothy, you learned these things from people that you can trust. People who are concerned with your very life. Now, for most of us, we've moved beyond that time of being taught by our parents. We've been out of our parents' homes for decades, most of us. We're still associated with our parents to some degree, most of us are. Still listen and give attention to them. But we have opportunity to influence others. And we need to do what we can to develop that knowledge in others as we have opportunity. But the Apostle Paul told Timothy, don't stop with what you already know. He said, remember what you know. Continue in the things you've learned because of who you learned them from and how they have turned you toward God. But just earlier in that book, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, he said, be diligent, present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Present yourself in a manner that shows you know the Word of God. Now, many years ago, actually just almost another lifetime ago it seems, now that I look back upon it, I had to study in order to learn how to work on cars. And I had to spend time reading from manuals and reading from books and listening to those who had experience so that I could learn how to do these things. What I was doing is I was being diligent to present myself one who knew how to work on an automobile. The more diligent I was in preparing myself for that work, the better I was at my job. That means I spent time learning. Paul says the same thing to the young man Timothy here. And each of us, in some manner or another, in our own careers, our own lives, we've spent time preparing ourselves to show ourselves as one who is worthy of the vocation which we are following, which we're practicing. That's what Paul told Timothy here. You're going to be a teacher of the Word of God. You're going to be a Christian. You're going to serve the Lord. Then not only do you need to have the knowledge to start with, but you need to continue to increase that knowledge. You need to continue to work in that field. Even after spending 2.5 years in school, taking tests to prove that I was certified to work on cars, I still had to go back to school from time to time to be refreshed in those things. And the same thing is true of most jobs and vocations today. From time to time, they still have to go back to school to be refreshed. And you have to spend time keeping up with what's going on, reminding ourselves of the things that we already know. How often have we been engaged in some activity that we've been doing all our life, and all of a sudden something's missing in what we're trying to accomplish, and we can't figure it out. And then when we do figure it out, well, that was basic. I learned that when I first started school. Well, how did I forget? Because I didn't keep myself refreshed with it. That's what Paul tells Timothy. And Paul speaks of how Timothy was a person not only of knowledge, but he was to be a person who was diligent in his study. And if we want to be a teacher to others, if we want to be the Christian that God would have us to be, we're going to have to be a person of knowledge and continually refreshing that knowledge. And when Paul says be diligent there, or study, or be studious, I think is more the idea of what's being put forth there, even in the Old King James. Be studious. Put the effort forth needed to keep yourself worthy of one who speaks from the Book of God. Knowledge and diligence in continuing to refresh that knowledge. Never get to the point that we've decided, hey, I've been reading the Bible all my life. My grandparents, I've looked up to all my life, and I continue to look up to them as examples. You probably have some you look up to. But one thing I remember, my grandmother, my mother's mother, of course, she was ill and she wasn't able to do much. She spent a lot of time reading. And she was part of several different book clubs, Reader's Digest and things. But one thing I remember about her reading, she read the Bible continually. She probably read through the Bible 2 or 3 times a year. She was doing that when I was a little fella coming to visit her when I first started school. As far back as I can remember, I was probably there long before that. And she was still doing that when Beth and I moved in with her when we finished high school, so we were going to go to college. She was still reading the Bible 3 or 4 times a year, 5 or 6 times a year sometimes. That woman had probably read the Bible 200 times or more. Yet she still read the Bible. My husband, my daddy Black, same thing. When we go visit, he'd be up at 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, doing his Bible study before he went to work. When we moved in to go to college, he was doing the same thing. He'd already retired. He wasn't working anymore, but he was still getting up way too high in the single digits in the morning He was just that kind of guy, reading and studying the Bible. And I don't use these examples to brag on my family. I use them because I'm familiar with them. We all have those that we've looked at and we've seen, husbands, wives, parents, grandparents, whatever, who've worn out Bibles because of the amount of time they spent reading from that Word. That's what Paul's talking about here when he talks to Timothy. He says, I know the kind of knowledge you have. I know the kind of faith that you have. But Timothy, you keep at it. Don't stop now. Are we spending that kind of time in the Word of God? Are we devoted to learning and continuing in our learning? If we want to be a Christian as God describes a Christian, we need to spend time in the Word of God continually. We need to have knowledge and we need to be diligent in our continuing study. And then we need to spread that knowledge. One of the things that drew Paul to Timothy was the good words that the brethren had to say about him there in the area of Lystra and Iconium. Now, Lystra and Iconium wouldn't have known about Timothy if he wasn't doing something. And then we look at what happened with Timothy as he went with the Apostle Paul, left his family and followed and traveled with Paul, was left in the various places. What did Paul leave Timothy to do? To take the knowledge that he had from the Word of God and use it to teach others. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we have what is, I guess, probably the final charge that the Apostle Paul gave to the young man Timothy. It's toward the end of the second epistle that he wrote to this young man. It's during the time that Paul is realizing his life is about gone. He's in his second imprisonment and he realizes he's not going to get out of this one. He's going to suffer the ultimate cost for preaching and teaching the Word of God. And so he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Timothy, preach the Word. I just can't believe that that's the first time Timothy had heard that phrase from the Apostle Paul. In fact, if we were to turn over the beginning of the first epistle that Paul wrote to Timothy, basically Paul says, Timothy, I left you in Ephesus so you could preach the Word, so you could deal with false teachers, is what he tells him. When Paul chose Timothy out of the brethren there in the city of Derbe and that region, I'm confident that he told Timothy what you're going to be doing is you're going to be teaching the Word. And it's evident from the things that are said about Timothy, the many times that he is made mention of in the epistles of Paul and in the travels of Paul as are recorded by Luke in the book of Acts, that Timothy was one who was active in teaching the gospel. We're studying in 1 Thessalonians, the brethren there. Timothy was left with them when Paul was sent out. When the brethren said, Paul, you got to get out or they're going to kill you, Timothy and Silas were still there. Paul went to Berea. Timothy and Silas came to Berea. And they continued there when Paul was sent to the city of Athens. And then Paul sent back and said, hey, I need Timothy. Timothy was associated with the brethren in Corinth. Timothy was left in Ephesus to deal with false teachers. Why? Because Timothy was a teacher of the gospel. He didn't just spend his time reading and studying about the Word of God. He talked to people about the Word of God. He talked to them in the marketplace. He talked to them in their homes. He talked to them in the assemblies. How do I know this? Because it's recorded time and time and time again. The results of the efforts of Timothy. And the instructions that the Apostle Paul gave to Timothy, as well as he did many others, about what they were supposed to be doing. Timothy was one who was willing to contend for the faith, as we read in Jude verse 3. Contend for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. Are we taking the knowledge that we're gleaning from the Word of God and teaching it to others? Are we talking to people about Christ? About the salvation that is found only in Him? Or have we decided because the last 25 times that we tried to talk to somebody, nobody wanted to talk, that nobody wants to listen now, so we're not going to try anymore, or we're not trying as hard? And believe you me, I understand the struggle. I understand that it's hard to get people to even think about right living, much less talk to you a little bit about the Bible. You mentioned the Bible today and everybody runs away. Unless it's their version of the Bible. You can talk about love all you want, but don't talk about obedience. We can't let that stop us. God expects us to be teachers of the Word of God. The example that we have of Timothy, as is sent through the recorded Scriptures, is one of a teacher. And that is demonstrated in the next thing we want to consider, that Timothy was a faithful servant. Turn with me now to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 19 through 23 is what we want to consider. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 through 23. Paul tells the brethren in Philippi, "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I may be encouraged when I hear of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interest, but not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of His proven worth, that He served with me in the fervence of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself will be coming shortly." He said, "Brethren, I'm going to send Timothy over there. And I'm sending Timothy because I know that Timothy is concerned about whether you're Christians or not." He says concerned about your welfare. He's not talking about whether they had food to eat or clothes to put on, what kind of houses they were living in. He wasn't sending Timothy so he could come into town in Philippi and see if all the Christians had a place to live or if they were living homeless in the marketplace. He could have sent anybody to do that. He was sending Timothy because he was a servant of Christ. Timothy was going to come in and find out whether these people were Christians or not. Whether they were serving the Lord. Whether they were doing God's will in their daily lives. And then he was going to report back to Paul. Because Paul wanted to know. And Paul wanted to know because he had a close association and fellowship with those brethren in Philippi. He wanted to know whether they were still sound. Whether they were okay. He'll come and check your welfare in Christ. Because Timothy is about Christ and serving Him. I can trust Timothy. I know what kind of man he is. Demas, I send him up there. I'm not sure what he'll do. But Timothy, I send him. I know what he'll do. He's a servant of the Lord. He fully accepted in his life the teaching that Paul presented in Romans chapter 6, verse 16 through 23, that we are servants or slaves of the one that we have chosen to obey. Timothy was a slave of God because he chose God as his master. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 10, he said, "Now if Timothy comes, see that he is with you without cause to be afraid, for he is doing the Lord's work, as also I am." He's doing the Lord's work. Well, Paul, how do you know? You're not in Corinth. You're not in Athens or Thessalonica or Berea or Philippi, wherever it is that Timothy's at right now. How do you know he's? Because I know Timothy. Do the people that know you're doing the Lord's work? Are you a servant of such a nature and character? Well, let me turn that around. Keep saying it the wrong way. Am I a servant of such a nature and character that people that know me know I'm doing the Lord's work? Now you can ask yourself. We sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. 1 Thessalonians letter chapter 3 and verse 2. He took advantage of the opportunity to learn from the example and counsel of the Apostle Paul to become a servant of the Lord. Timothy, my true child in the faith, Paul addresses him in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. He followed the teaching, the love, and the perseverance that he saw in the Apostle Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, Paul says, "Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and suffering, such as happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord rescued me." Now, stop and think for just a minute what Paul's referencing there and the time frame involved. When did Paul suffer in Lystra, Iconium, and Derbe, and Antioch, in the regions of Asia? When was it he suffered there? On his first missionary journey through there? When he came through there with Barnabas after John Mark had turned away and gone back to Jerusalem? He came into the city of Antioch and they preached to the Jews. The Jews rejected, so they went to the Gentiles. And they preached to the Gentiles and the Gentiles accepted. And the Jews rioted and started trying to destroy Paul. So he went on over to Lystra and Derbe and Iconium. And they followed him over there, stoned him and left him for dead. And after that he went to the city of Derbe. And then they came back. Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. And then went back to the city of Jerusalem and then up to Antioch, reported to the brethren. And then they decided, we're going to go back out again and check on all those folks that we had talked to before and see how they're faring. And they had their, Paul and Barnabas had their blow up about John Mark. And Barnabas and John Mark went to the first areas that they went over the island and such. And Paul chose Silas and they went over into Asia. In Acts chapter 16, he found a disciple there named Timothy. A devoted man. One that Paul wanted to take with him. So the things that Paul's talking about here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 are not things that happened after Timothy started following Paul. These are things that Timothy knew about Paul before he said, "I'll follow and go with you." Before Paul took him and circumcised him because of the Jews. Paul, who taught that a man didn't have to be circumcised in order to be a servant of the Lord, took Timothy and circumcised him. Timothy submitted to those things. Why? Because Timothy was a servant of God and he wanted to do whatever he could to promote the cause of Christ. Timothy knew what he was getting into before he got into it. Yet he was still a servant of the Lord. Each and every day. He was the one Paul could count on to send anywhere to take care of any problem. That leads us to our fourth point. His courage. Timothy's courage allowed him to be the person that he was. His knowledge gave him what he needed in order to be a teacher and to serve the Lord. His courage allowed him to get out and do those things, despite what was going on. His deciding to go with the Apostle Paul was a statement of courage, considering the things he had seen Paul endure already. The things that had been going on in those towns around him in Iconium and Lystra and Derbe as a result of the Jews fighting against the teaching of the gospel that he'd been dealing with since Paul came through teaching the gospel of Christ. Yet he had the courage to go with Paul and to do what needed to be done. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 21, the Apostle Paul says, "Make every effort to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, also Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren." Think for a minute what Paul is asking Timothy to do. As we understand it, this second epistle to the Apostle, or to Timothy, was written while Paul was in prison his last time. This is the epistle where Paul makes the statement, "I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. There's a crown of life waiting for me." This is the epistle where Paul writes to Timothy and pretty much tells him, "I'm not going to be around much anymore. So you do what you know you're supposed to do. Preach the word." He says, "Timothy, come to me." Some instructions about the coming. When you come, come before winter. When you come, bring my books and the parchments. And I left a coat at Troas. Make sure you bring it. "Timothy, come to me in the city of Rome." Paul in prison. Gonna be put to death, almost certain. He says, "Timothy, come to me." Now, we don't know for certain whether Timothy went to Rome or not. Maybe Paul was executed before he was able to come. Nothing recorded for certain. There is one mention in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 23, "Take notice that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom, if he comes soon, I will see you." Now, I don't know what the time frame is on when the book of Hebrews was written in relation to the book of 2 Timothy. I don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. I'd like to think it was Paul, but I have nothing that can prove it that way. But what's written right here indicates that Timothy had been held in prison before as well. And so Paul is asking Timothy to come and watch him die. He's asking Timothy to come to Rome and take the chance that he's going to be put in prison as well. Because what's Timothy going to do when he gets to Rome? He's going to help Paul preach the gospel. Isn't that what we've just evidenced from everything we've seen about who Timothy is and what he's all about? And why is Paul in prison? Because he's been preaching the gospel. So if Timothy comes to Rome and starts preaching the gospel, what's probably going to happen? Well, he's an associate of Paul. We'll just throw him in prison too. We'll get rid of him the same way we get rid of Paul. And I must emphasize that we don't have any evidence that shows one way or the other exactly what happened. But knowing human nature and understanding how people think, you have to wonder, did these things go through Timothy's mind when Paul said, "Get here before winter"? And yet Timothy seemed to be willing to do whatever Paul asked of him to do, because he had trust and faith in God. Timothy knew that all who were in Asia had turned away from the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. The first epistle was written to Timothy so that he would know what to do in the city of Ephesus in Asia. Timothy was well acquainted with what was going on there in regards to Paul. Paul makes mention of Alexander the coppersmith doing him great disservice when he talks about Timothy coming to him. Timothy knew what was going on, yet Timothy was still there dealing with the false teachers. Paul just earlier in chapter 4 said, "At my first offense, all left me. No one supported me, but all deserted me. And I'll be counted against them." Timothy, you come up. Timothy was courageous to the point that he would do what needed to be done because he put his trust in the Lord. He had hope in God. He was not afraid of him who can kill the body, but was worried about the one who could destroy both soul and body in hell. He was not worried about what consequences he might have to suffer here upon the face of this earth. His concern was where he would be for eternity. That's what gave Timothy the kind of courage that we see demonstrated in his life. Do you have sufficient faith that you will stand firm for the truth of the gospel no matter what's going on? That you will continue to preach and teach the Word of God no matter who your neighbor is? No matter who wins the election? No matter who does what in this world? Will you keep serving the Lord? Even when they haul you before the courts and say, stop teaching in the name of Jesus. Will you leave their presence and rejoice that you were counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ? And then move yourself into an opportunity to preach and teach the Word of God again? Not a word is recorded that Timothy ever spoke. Yet his example, as it is described to us, mainly by the Apostle Paul, is so very powerful as an example of the kind of people that we ought to be. We need to be knowledgeable teachers serving the Lord with courage. Now, I worked all four of those in the one sentence. Are we the kind of Christian that Timothy was? If we're not the kind of Christian that Timothy was, can we truly be counted as a Christian at all? I'm not saying everyone has to reach these levels in some manner of perfection. But if we're not trying to get there, if we're not working at becoming this kind of person, God has no use for us. And we won't receive the reward. I had all kinds of thoughts for that song you were going to use for the invitation to change it on. But you changed it to an easy one. Did you see the title of that song? Come to the Feast. The first phrase in every verse, all things are ready. Think about that. What did you do when Mom said dinner's ready? You like me and David, you run over to your siblings trying to get to the table. Because Mom said it's ready. Now, what if, as you were growing up, Mom said, before you come to the table, you go wash your hands and comb hair? No matter where we were, when Mom called and said it was time to go eat, first thing we did, we go wash our hands and comb hair away. So we just get to the table. Because we knew if we showed up and Mom looked and saw we hadn't washed our hands and combed our hair, she'd say, go back. God said it's ready. Eternal rest awaits for each and every one of us. To wash yourself of your sins. To cleanse yourself of wickedness while being holy. Confess your belief in Jesus as the Son of God, Savior of mankind. Turn away. Get rid of the world in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, in your actions. And be buried in the waters of baptism so that you can put to death the old man and rise up out of that watery grave, having been washed free of your sins, cleansed and made whole, so you can become a part of the family of God. Then you can look at him again. Put him in faith. See, taking those steps cleanses us and gets us ready to enter in. We
he has called home. So we have to remain for it. And every one of us did that at dinner time as well. The company come and mom made us get all cleaned up and ready so that when the company got there, we'd be ready to go, right? Same thing is true with God. He said, get cleaned up, make yourself right. Because the time's coming when you're going to come home, and I want you to be ready to come home. So keep yourself clean. Continue in my commandments and my teachings. Not. If you get dirty, then wash yourself again. Turn away from your wickedness, confess it, ask for forgiveness, and promise that your life will away as it is now again. All things are ready. Are you ready to come to the feast? If not, time and opportunity is yours. Come up to your desire. We stand and sing. Pray.